Jim, what can you and your organization do in a very orderly, methodical way to try to get more information out in an official way? I mean, can you call for, can you get a new 9/11 commission, or is that never going to happen?
Well, the problem, George, is as soon as you turn to Congress, you get politicalization. We saw this with JFK, with the Warren Commission and the House Select Committee reinvestigation. We saw it with this 9/11 commission. There's not going to be a congressional resolution of this. It's going to require, for example, that the district attorneys and the attorneys general of the states where these crimes were committed should pick up the issue. I mean, you got great men like Elliot Spitzer in New York, and I have no idea if he's paying any attention to this. But no citizen can bring a criminal case. It's got to be done by the district attorneys and the attorneys general. If indictments were brought against some of these figures in the Bush administration, it could have reverberations that would be felt around the world. That would be a great thing. Otherwise, we have to reconstitute Congress. But my anguish over electronic voting machines is so profound because, see, these people are so clever. They're using our own taxpayer money to fund the purchase of electronic voting machines that are controlled by GOP Bush sympathizers. The Europeans think we're insane to allow a private country to control these electronic voting machines. I'm in the position of being a Luddite. These were a group, you know, who thought that machines were a bad thing. They took sledgehammers to knock them apart. I want to tell Americans, by God, if you're forced to use those electronic voting machines and they have no paper trail, take sledgehammers to them and trash them apart, because they are depriving
Jim,
you of your liberty.
People will get arrested if they do that.
George, there are worse things than being arrested. We got to stand up for our country. By the way, I think
the guy who was heading up Diebold, who promised to bring the election to George Bush, has resigned.
Well, there are signs here, but then the Secretary of State in California has just certified Diebold. It was done in the middle of the night. This is a terrible thing. I cannot believe it. But that in California, if something like that can happen in California, it can happen anywhere.
Yeah, I know. We're on that with Bev Harris, so we're not going to let that story die.
Great.
Let's go to our West of the Rockies line. Welcome to Coast to get us going. What's left of this time? Hi there.
Hi.
Yeah, go ahead, sir.
This is Gene from New Mexico. I was telling your screener that I agree with some of what your guest has to say, but some of the things I disagree with. One of the things I disagree with is metal will burn. I have been in the mechanic field for quite a few years now. I have seen trucks catch on fire from a fuel fire and literally burn and melt to the ground. The second thing I disagree with about the conspiracy theory, like on the thing that happened in New Orleans, is I was watching the History Channel quite a few years back. I did not know that it set under, below sea level, and me and my wife was talking about that. And it's like I said then, and we told each other, wow, if something was to ever happen there, why would somebody want to live below sea level? It's a disaster waiting to happen.
Well, they always thought that those pumps would work, I guess.
Well, common sense tells me that they might not work. And some of what he's saying, like I said, I think is true. But
well, what do you believe in?
He's on a bandwagon here also.
What part do you think is true?
When the towers come down, that was kind of suspicious. I'll give that. But then to have a cover-up, the major cover-up that he's talking about, I don't see.
All right, Jim, let me ask you this. I got an email during the top of the hour break from someone who lives in New York and says that the towers were built to go down and collapse that way in case anything ever happened to them so they wouldn't fall into other buildings. Would you accept that?
No. These were wonderfully constructed buildings. I mean, if you look at the photographs of them under construction, they're massive, they're impressive. And the way they came down, George, they were exploding from the top. Every floor was blowing out as they were coming down. They came down in 10 seconds. That's impossible unless there was no resistance whatsoever.
Well,
what they're saying is just wrong.
The part that really interests me is what you brought up about the fact that a security company had closed portions of the building and chased people out and shut down the cameras.
That's weird.
Securicom,
George.
Is that documentable?
Bush's brother, a director.
Is that documentable?
Oh, sure.
It is.
Yes.
Our first time caller line, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, my name's Newt. I'm from Flagstaff.
Hello, Newt.
I'm a long-time listener.
Thanks for the call. Go ahead.
Hey, I think that the buildings must have been brought down by controlled demolition, because obviously a plane 80 stories up is not going to knock out the base of a building. And building number 7 wasn't touched by anything, and it fell in less than 7 seconds.
You're absolutely right.
And then I've heard that the bomb-sniffing dogs were pulled off 5-6 days before the attack. But it, my question is, how come with all that debris, if it was brought down by bombs, isn't there chemical traces, et cetera, things like that? I mean, why wouldn't they hold
everything away right away. That was another problem.
That's right. Even the fire chiefs in their magazine were saying this was completely wrong, that there had to be a forensic examination. It would have revealed the use of these explosives. The company that did all this was a very efficient company by the name of Controlled Demolition Incorporated.
There was, an individual in the basement or somewhere. His name was Rodriguez.
William Rodriguez.
What did we know about him?
He was working in the sub-basements, and there was a tremendous explosion. A 50-ton hydraulic press was blown away. One of his friends had his skin blown off his body. This was a massive explosion in the sub-basements that occurred about the time that the planes impacted. It appears to have been designed to remove the structural supports from those 47 central beams so that the buildings were then only kept up by the external steel supports, the 240, which were then blown away when they brought the buildings down.
Wildcard Line, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Good morning, George.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're familiar with the President's Foreign Intelligence Advisory Board.
Who's on that board?
That's the thing. There's been like 2 iterations of this. The first ones are, Brent Scowcroft was the chairman. And, you know, he was against the Iraq war, so he was more or less kicked off. So the rest of the members all appeared to be Bush donors, the pioneers, or they weren't qualified whatsoever in intelligence.
I don't know about this organization. How about you, Mr. Fetzer?
Well, you know, he has many advisory boards, and he can pay attention to who he wants or not, but Brent Scowcroft has been very critical of the Bush foreign policy. In fact, some of the neocons are starting to abandon the old neocon philosophy. Francis Fukuyama, for example, there's an article we just put up on the website for ST-911, who is renouncing their policy and saying it was a Leninist policy that presumed you could impose democracy on other countries whether they wanted it or not, and he no longer believes it, and he thinks the whole thing was a mistake, and it was based on an exaggerated fear about Islamic fundamentalism that didn't exist, and he thinks the whole thing's a blunder. It's a fascinating piece, and it's just appeared.
So do you believe that bin Laden just has faded away? He's gone, may never be found again?
Well, they needed the boogeyman. I mean, Morgan's absolutely right about that. He's of more value to them as a mythical figure than he is if he were, you know, if they had his head on a platter. Because then an awful lot of Americans would say, well, justice has been served. But, you know, so much of this claim, the invasion of Iraq, was predicated on all of these misrepresentations where you had one member of the administration after another just repeating 9-11 Saddam Hussein, 9-11 Saddam Hussein, 9-11 Saddam Hussein. It's a form of very elementary kind of psychological conditioning. There was never any evidence that Saddam Hussein had anything to do with 9-11. 15 of the 19 hijackers were Saudi Arabian. You would think that would lead to some major investigation of Saudi Arabian connection. Actually, that part was deleted from the 9-11 Commission report. They simply took it out.
I know.
You've got to ask yourself, what in the world is going on here?
Jim, I got to tell you, I may not believe or agree with everything that you've said tonight, or Morgan, or David Ray Griffin, and Lisa and Victor bring up some interesting facets of this whole thing. But I do have to tell you, there are some very strange anomalies in this whole thing, and things that are not right. They don't make sense enough, I think, where this thing should be opened up again and questioned in a much more thorough way. I think if David Ray Griffin, for example, had the opportunity to bring from his book alone unanswered questions, it would shock Americans if it were done in a committee form, don't you?
Yes, he's a magnificent human being. He's been carrying the burden of this message himself for years now. I mean, this organization now is really bringing him tremendous support, but I mean, mean, the man is magnificent. I can't tell you, George, how indebted I am to you for covering this. Frankly, I mean, if this were a Democratic administration doing it, we'd be saying the same thing. We are scholars. We are nonpartisan. And however passionate I may be about this, it's because this administration is abusing our country, and it just happens to be GOP and Bush. But I've explained why. These are not traditional Republicans, and I can't understand why any principled Republicans would support them.
I'll tell you one thing. I'm tired of being in this war economy. It seems like we've been in it forever.
Yes.
And, you know, I think Americans are tired of it. There's a tension here.
George, on TV tonight, they were reporting that this war is costing every taxpayer $2,000 a year already. Just stop and think about what you could do with $2,000 a year. I mean, all this money is being diverted. It's being dumped into defense. It's being taken away from education. It's being taken away from... They want to privatize Social Security. All these companies are dumping their pensions. It's shocking. It should never happen. This is totally un-American. It's so unfair to the working men and women of this nation.
East of the Rockies, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, this is Charlie from Ormond Beach. That's a suburb of Daytona Beach in Florida.
Hi, Charlie.
Hi, I'd just like to get a little bit of weight on the other side of this argument, and I'd like to ask these gentlemen a couple of questions and have them respond without being drowned out with other issues being raised in the
middle. All right, go ahead, Charlie.
Okay, first of all, I like to preface all this and say, to me, personally, it's my opinion, this topic... title of this topic tonight should be probably something more like, how can we demean the Bush administration so Hillary Clinton can be elected? Now, I'll ask my questions now. First of all, one gentleman called in. It was completely drowned out. I refuse to be drowned out. If this is all a sinister plot on the Bush administration, by the Bush administration, how do we explain... In 1993, the Trade Tower explosions that went on there when the Democrats were in office. I mean, Bin Laden and these and the Al-Qaeda and their terrorists must be real, okay? I mean, that's a fact. That occurred, and we didn't hear all these sinister plots and fabrication of a terrorist back in those days. And the other question I have was when they mentioned the... New York Times, my gosh, the New York Times is certainly not a conservative paper. And the New York Times has not ever alleged that all this is some kind of a fabrication, sinister plot, and terrorists don't exist. And what would David Gregory say about all this? He would certainly take the opportunity to expose this as a sinister plot. It's simply a case of a bunch of Democrats trying to demean, in my opinion, trying to demean the Bush administration. It goes on and on. This was a surprise attack, no different than Pearl Harbor in a lot of ways, and more devastating, certainly. Those are my questions, and I'd love to hear an answer.
Okay, well, I'll answer for you the Al-Qaeda one, because I don't agree with Jim on that. I believe Al-Qaeda is out there and that it is a part of this. I do think there are some puppeteers involved. That's my take. Jim, but why don't you handle the New York Times angle?
Well, basically, Al-Qaeda was a creation of our CIA as an anti-Soviet program in Afghanistan. I mean, the problem is how often these movements, you know, turn around to bite us. I mean, as far as what happened in 1993, I mean, I'm willing to believe that that was some little cell that had some you know, effort to make. They were totally incompetent, of course. I mean, their explosion didn't move anything. To think that they could have perpetrated, you know, individuals of that level of skill or ability. Hey, these guys who are supposed to have done it couldn't have even flown the planes. There five or six of them are alive and well and living in Saudi Arabia. I mean, the cell phones can't possibly have been made from the aircraft. I mean, this guy is literally ignorant of all of the evidence that shows the sorts of things he's saying are completely and utterly false. And we are... Look, Morgan Reynolds was the economic advisor to the Department of Labor in the Bush administration. It was a political appointment. He's a prominent Republican. David Ray Griffin, I'm absolutely 100% certain, is an independent. I may typically vote Democratic, but I make my judgment based upon what I think is best for the country. We are a nonpartisan group. It's objective scientific evidence that you can find on our website that has brought us to these conclusions. We aren't happy about it.
Well, there you go, sir. Any more follow-up?
Well, I just say that you're going to hear this rhetoric over and over again as we approach elections, okay? And I just believe that George Bush, this was a surprise attack. It was like a Category 1 hurricane and went to a Category 5 overnight. What the heck do you do? No one would anticipate.
Well, let me ask you this, because it's very possible that he was totally in the dark about this, as he claims he was about this United Arab Emirates ports deal. As he's been saying, he said, I didn't know anything about it until it was done. Do you think it's possible, Charlie?
Yes.
Do you think it's possible that some people who are in this industrial military complex may have helped concoct this, whether it was with Al-Qaeda or not? And, of course, George Bush didn't even know what was going on.
Well, I think the president, you know, should be advised with his intelligence all the time. However, you know, I don't want to pick on Democrats, but I got to say that our intelligence community was just about wiped out during the Clinton administration's 8 years. I mean, we basically had no intelligence left.
He decimated it.
Bush had a pickup with an economy after that. And, you know, you mentioned things like the stock market. I was in the stock market at 27 and retired at 35. I'm no dummy. And I'll tell you one thing very clear about the stock market. It was a self-perpetuating success story for this entire country, diversified in so many different businesses. And when you talk about the stock market, it was devastating for a lot of my friends.
Well, I know, but his point was, though, somebody sold the insurance companies and the airlines short right before 9/11. Somebody knew that they were going to plummet.
Well, I tell you who bought a lot of puts was Bin Laden. You know, he made a lot of money off of this. It's just...
We'll never know that unless the Securities and Exchange Commission tells us this.
Well, it's no different than the Tylenol story. I met somebody that was in prison with the Tylenol guy. You remember the guy who was crazy?
The guy in Chicago.
He wasn't crazy at all. He made lots of money doing that because he knew the Tylenol stock.
Interesting. Good point. Hey, we're out of time. The show is over. Jim Fetzer, this is not going to go away, but we'll talk to you probably as we get close to Kennedy assassination anniversary date again.
George, I can't thank you enough, and all your listeners, I urge them to go to st911.org and take a look at the evidence for themselves. It's all there laid out for their contemplation, and I just must say that the future of our country is at stake. This is a desperate situation, and my grief is over the possibility that we're going to lose freedom and democracy forever.
And whether you agree with anything you've heard tonight or not is not really the major issue. The point is that we as free Americans have an opportunity to even talk about this. For Dan Galante, Steve Carr, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesour, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. I'll see you on our next edition. It'll be Friday Night Open Lines. Get ready for some scary stuff, including the Devil Channeler. Be safe, everyone.